The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from R Bar in Sawyer Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to text the show. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Just find The Blitz, click like. Not Blitz the Seahawk or any of those other ones, just The Blitz. And you can send a message, and usually Aaron will read it, but I don't know if he's doing it out here on location. You can get us on Twitter.
We don't have that technology.
He's got a laptop in front
of
him.
I'm reading them, okay. But it's mostly comments on, hey, where's the R? Where am I supposed to papka?
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people confused by that.
You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at EJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates 975.
And we're giving away cheers.
Out here at R Bar and Sawyer Heights, one of the many heights, and right on Houston and Dart. Really cool. Come on out here. And then, especially if you're just getting bailed out of jail, it's a really short walk to come down here.
Yeah.
So come on down, hang out. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. Very cool place.
Especially if you've just been bailed out for an alcohol-related charge because...
Yeah, the first thing you have to do then is get drunk.
There's tons of alcohol here, and we know you like drinking. So just come on out. This is the place to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if I were released from jail down there, it's the first place I'd come.
And honestly, think about this. What are the odds that you're going to be arrested for a crime when you're drunk? Okay, and then take that those percentages... And then say, what are the odds you'll be arrested for being drunk the day you're released from jail? It's really low, so just roll the dice, guys.
All right, well, let's. If you're rolling the dice with fantasy football, you need to better your odds. And where else would you do that but with Christopher Harris? Chris Harris. Finally, he's Chris Harris now. At Harris Football, I get asked all the time, where do you go for your fantasy rankings and things like that? I go to harrisfootball.com and... Chris has been with us for a long time. Chris, how you doing, man? Good to have you back.
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me back.
Chris, let's talk about around here, everybody's wondering with Zeke Elliott. Is Zeke Elliott going to be back? Is he going to sit out much time? And where now are you taking Zeke Elliott? And where are you taking Pollard, I guess, is the second question. Because obviously if you take him, you have to handcuff him. But what's the outlook now for Ezekiel Elliott as we get basically into starting the season now?
I mean, you don't need me for to answer that one because I have no idea any better than you do. This is the unfortunate, Le'Veon Bell, like it's the Pandora's box opened up a can of something that now we are having to draft with totally imperfect information. I have Elliott still as, in a standard draft, I still think he's, like, back end of the first round, and PPR rules maybe more like early second. But all the things that you would think of are right. I mean, like, if he just misses one game and he comes back, you got a huge bargain at that price. If he misses a half a season, you got taken in and you're in a lot of trouble, and Tony Pollard and Alfred Morris and everybody else isn't going to help. It just comes down to how much risk the individual person who's doing the fantasy draft is willing to stomach, because we just don't know what's going to happen. The one thing I'll say is just I don't believe anything that gets said, because I feel like it's all mind games and part of negotiations. It's impossible to know who's being truthful when they talk about the situation. So, I'm not even positive Pollard is 100% the handcuff, because the kid had 70-something carries his last year at the University of Memphis, and I think more than half of them were wildcat quarterback runs. I recognize that against third stringers in the preseason, he was, had a couple long runs and looked pretty good. I really find it hard to believe that the kid who was, you know, essentially like the third running back on his team at the University of Memphis is ready to be a 20 touch per guy game in the NFL. So that just adds to the risk, because I worry that there's not a clean solution for when Zeke isn't in there.
What do you do with Duke Johnson now that the Texans obviously have no Lamar Miller, and it looks like he's going to get a lot of carries in addition to catching the football? Do you upgrade him significantly or just a little?
I always liked Duke Johnson quite a bit. You know, probably I upgraded him the most when he got traded because he was leaving Nick Chubb, and I felt like being with Lamar Miller pre-Lamar Miller injury was going to be better for Duke Johnson's value than it was going to be to stay on Nick Chubb's team. And then, yes, when Miller gets hurt, I think he has to get raised a little bit again. I'm sure you guys are more plugged into this than I am, but from very far away, my assumption is the Texans have to add a veteran running back, that someone will get cut, whether it's a Carlos Hyde or a LeSean McCoy or Kenneth Dixon or somebody, and they add, you know, to the mix, which wouldn't ruin Duke Johnson as a fantasy pick at all. I really like him as a player. I'm not sure, like, he's never really proven that he would be the guy in the NFL. I think in 64 career games, he only has double-digit carries in four of them, and that's partly because I know he's listed at 210. I think he's smaller than that. He's a fantastic pass catcher. This is all my way of saying it. Certainly, it helps the fantasy value. He's going to be involved no matter what else they do. I would say if I'm looking at him in the fifth round, the sixth round of a fantasy draft, I think there's a pretty safe floor for a lot of work.
Chris Harris is our guest. HarrisFootball.com does a lot of stuff on their podcasts, everything. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Is Saquon your kind of consensus number one in any draft right now?
Yeah, you know, and I'm sort of proud of the market because, you know, we feels like we look for any excuse to poke a hole in someone on a team that we think is bad. And, you guys know me well enough to know that I'm suspicious when the primary reason that you dislike or like somebody is that you dislike or like their situation. Like, last year, everybody loved Alex Collins. Well, who else was there for Baltimore? Of course Alex Collins should be a third-round draft pick. And I kept saying, but he's not good. You know, I want the best players, and hopefully the best players can overcome the situation. There was a lot of rumbling in July that, oh, you can't take Barkley number one. I mean, the Giants aren't going to be good. And it feels like most people have realized, wow, when you're that good, I mean, are the Giants going to be any worse this year than last year? I just think when you're that good, especially with no Elliott. Elliott would be the other one at number one where I go, well, listen, if Zeke Elliott were there, he's almost as good as Barkley or maybe better and maybe in a better situation. But with no Elliott reporting, I think Barkley is a very clear number one no matter your format.
Melvin Gordon also not returned yet, and Austin Eckler, to me, he's shown that he can actually play. You know, we don't know much about Pollard, but with Eckler, we actually know he can play. At what point are you willing to reach for Melvin Gordon, and at what point are you looking to draft Austin Eckler if you want to take both those guys?
Well, first of all, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's a big difference when you've actually seen a guy play in the NFL, as opposed to, you know, some preseason games and have people talk nice about them. It makes a big difference. It should make a big difference. And no matter what you think of the Zeke and Gordon situations, Eckler should go ahead of anybody who's a reserve for the Cowboys. Although Justin Jackson is there too, and there was a moment when Gordon was hurt at the end of last year that Justin Jackson also showed that he could play in the NFL, much like Austin Eckler. They're very similar players in that they're smaller, quicker, acceleration, catch the ball, maybe not, you know, break a lot of tackles, maybe not serve as a power back. In the longer term, I don't think either of those Charger backups are really number one running backs in the NFL, and probably for a full season wouldn't necessarily hold up to that kind of pounding. That's my hesitation in Eckler is more that Justin Jackson is there, but the answer on Gordon is, it's so funny, I think it's hypocritical that we sit here and go, oh, well, you know, take Zeke in the first round, but oh my God, Gordon's going to hold out half the year. I mean, it strikes me that those guys could easily both hold out as much as each other or not. There's this notion that Melvin Gordon, because he's going to be a free agent, that he's got to play half a season in order to get his service time. True, but that's what they were saying about Le'Veon Bell. The Chargers can just turn around and franchise him. I think either guy, Elliott or Gordon, kind of has no more or less likelihood, but because Zeke is just better, he's better. He's a better player than Melvin Gordon's good. Zeke Elliott's great. we kind of make more of an allowance and say, well, okay, Elliott late first, early second, and when Gordon it's more like fourth or fifth, and even then you're clearly taking on a lot of risk.
So the past couple of years it's been almost taboo to draft a tight end or a quarterback in the first couple rounds, and the Kansas City Chiefs seem to have sort of changed that strategy. I mean, I've seen guys take Mahomes in the first round. I've seen guys take Travis Kelce in the first round. What's your opinion on that? Are they making the right play? And what kind of value do you expect to get out? I mean, when you talk about relative value, like, can they meet first round value and actually exceed it? Or are you just having to assume they're going to do what they did last year to get the value out of them?
Yeah, that's the problem with it. It's like you have to have a truly historic season as a quarterback or as a tight end to merit being taken in the first couple of rounds. So, what we always talk about with fantasy football is let's try to get players at good value so they don't have to, you don't have to reach your ceiling in order for it to be a good draft pick. And that's just the bottom line. It's like Mahomes, of course, last year he was worth a first round pick. He threw 50 touchdowns. Historically speaking, it's never been done back-to-back seasons, and it's never been close. I mean, I think there's not that many people who've thrown for 50 touchdowns, but the season afterwards that was best was low 30s. It's just very hard to do. Mahomes can have an awesome year and still throw 35 touchdowns. And then the same with Kelce. It's hard to justify those guys in the first two rounds. You can make any fantasy strategy work if you pick the right players after you pick those two guys. You absolutely can do it if that's your preference. For me, I like to have as many bullets as possible at the scarce positions. I want to fire as much as I can at running back and wide receiver, trying to find the next guy, not last year's guy. And then, especially a quarterback, that's just so deep. There's just so many guys you could take. It feels to me like you just don't need to be drafting to get the guy at the absolute height of his market.
Speaking of which, I noticed you've got Deshaun Watson number 3 in your rankings.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He belongs in the neighborhood. Again, if I personally am drafting and it's a redraft league, I'm not going to wind up with Holmes or Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson very often, because in a lot of leagues, those guys start getting taken off the board in the second, third round. And if I can just wait till the 9th round and get Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, fine, maybe you argue I'm not giving myself quite the ceiling, but I'm probably giving myself just as much floor, maybe 80% overall of the production, and getting more good options at the scarcer positions.
One last one before we let you go. One of the things about drafting in leagues here, I almost never wind up with Texans or Cowboys or Saints, because there's so many Texans and Cowboys and Saints fans that they go way too soon. Whenever you're in a certain market where you've got a team that's popular like that, does that give you an advantage to almost ignore those guys? Because they're always going to go way ahead of where they should.
I mean, I think it's a good point, but it's maybe a larger illustration of set your own preference of players. Like, basically make your own draft board, right? Like, if I were picking first, I would like this guy. If that guy were gone, the next guy I would like is this guy. And try not to think of team or anything else, like the kind of market inflation kind of thing that you're thinking of. And then as you're going, if players are coming off the board who are way, way lower on your list than they are going in the draft, that for sure strikes me. I mean, of course, none of us are sure our lists are right, but all we can do is draft to what we think is the right order. And if all the Saints and all the Texans and all the Cowboys are popping off the list, around 2 rounds, 3 rounds earlier than I would have taken them, it does feel to me like that's an advantage in your draft room.
I know Fred said that was the last one, but I had one more thought. When Andrew Luck retires, obviously no one wants to draft Andrew Luck anymore, but how did he affect your ranking of guys like Marlon Mack, guys like T.Y. Hilton, Eric Ebron? How did Andrew Luck affect the rest of the team when you take him out of the equation?
Yeah, it totally affected it. I mean, Marlon Mack, some people are going to say, well, the volume goes up, they have to run more. And my feeling is, okay, but doesn't the defense know that? And can't
right.
they potentially defend it better? So Mack went down a little bit, and Ebron went down a little bit, because you could just as easily say, well, Jacoby Brissett's going to check it down a lot. Cool, yeah. I mean, I think the argument that losing good players and potentially great players and replacing them, especially at quarterback, with unknowns and or people we've seen kind of be bad in the past, if that were a great recipe for fantasy glory, it seems to me that all the NFL teams should be dropping their Deshaun Watsons and playing their Ryan Griffins or whoever at quarterback. So, the people that it really affects would be T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton I had at, I think, 12 among wide receivers before Andrew Luck retired, and I have him 23. We've seen a Jacoby Brissett season with T.Y. Hilton. He finished at 24. It was pretty up and down. It was a worse Colts team. It was a worse Colts offensive line. It was probably a worse Colts play-calling administration. Brissett is more experienced. Like, I can see where things go right, but you are taking on a lot more risk.
All right. Tell the people about all the great things they can find on harrisfootball.com, including your podcast, your rankings, all that great stuff.
Well, you just did. Thank you. harrisfootball.com, a podcast 5 days a week. I would love it if folks want to give it a chance. Actually, if you're drafting this weekend and you just want to see some video, some sort of film breakdown on some of the players you might be interested in drafting, we do have a YouTube channel where you can watch based on a play. Like, we just did a Nick Chubb video where, if you're interested in drafting Nick Chubb and you're wondering what I think of as a talent and where he fits in for fantasy, it's like a 10-minute little video on youtube.com/harrisfootball. There's a whole bunch of those for a bunch of different players.
All right, Chris, we appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm Laura Reynolds with CarPro USA.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. And you could get your windows pretty much from anybody, but that'd be really stupid of you, and you don't want to be a stupid dummy. So go to Allstate Siding and Windows. They got you covered. And let's say you're a really old person, senior discount, boom. Let's say you're military discount, boom. And you're saying, what if you're a first responder? We got a discount for you too. And you're saying, dude, I'm none of those things. That's okay. All you have to do is say AJ Hoffman sent you. Listen to this, 25% off your entire window package, no payment for 2 years, just like that. Tell them AJ sent you, they got you covered. And you're going to save money as well once you get these windows in. Save up to 40% on your energy bills with vinyl windows. Imagine what you could do with those savings, guys. And your house is just going to look better. You know what it looks like when you got those nice windows. It just it makes your home look just like, it looks like a home. Do the right thing. Get these windows. When you want to invest, choose the best. Allstate Siding and Windows. 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's 832-204-1936 for Allstate Siding and Windows.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from R Bar in Sawyer Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from R Bar. A lot of Blitzers here now, including Disco and Baby Biscuit and Mama Biscuit.
That's right.
Three generations of Biscuit.
It's crazy.
All in the house. So, yeah, somebody asked any plays on the MSU game. I don't have any plays tonight. All of my stuff is this weekend. I think it's Lawyer Dave walking in now.
Oh, yes.
Now the party's going to start.
Now we're getting going. No, I lean towards Michigan State. I ended up not playing, but I have a lean on Michigan State. Numbers a little more than I would have hoped for, but I've got beer.
Yeah.
Dave. No shots. No. Are you crazy, Dave?
Hey, I Ubered. Wait till the 6 o'clock hour.
This is my lawyer trying to get me to do shots.
Yeah, exactly.
The police station. You know where the police station is, right? Yeah. I know.
And he can bail you out. There's all the bail places there, and then he can represent you.
That's true.
It's like a one-stop shop.
It's true.
And if you get run over by a car on the way, he's got you covered.
That's right.
All right, so apparently we have some tickets to the Beer Fest to give away that are on site.
What beer fest?
It is the Galveston Brewmasters Craft Beer Festival. It's going down in Galveston tomorrow.
Okay.
So we've got two pair. One pair right now if y'all want to figure out a keyword. Right.
Well, here's the thing. I think one pair should go to somebody who's already here because we've got a nice crowd. So,
oh, you hear that double?
Yeah, that was good. That was some depth to that.
Daily double.
If you're out driving around and you come by in the next 30 minutes, and go up and call Clara Dickweed. She'll give you two tickets.
Don't do that. Claire's nice.
Oh, she is, but, you know, you've got to have a keyword, right?
So I mean, Claire, honestly.
All right, you know what? Say, hey, Claire, Fred's a dickweed, and she'll give you the tickets. How's
that's
that?
Good enough.
Is that better? Is everybody
better.
Happy with that?
That's better.
Is that the politically correct thing to do?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, treat her like a lady. How about?
I don't know, man.
Is that too much to ask?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, that's just you know what? I'm with Larry Johnson. Everything's an effeminate agenda now.
I don't know that you want to be with Larry Johnson on a lot of things.
That was sarcasm, sir.
Yeah, I'm actually whatever Larry Johnson says, just count me on the opposite side of it.
Yeah. What the hell was he doing?
He says, okay, what's something I can say that's really going to make people crazy? I want that.
Hey, that's what works, man.
Yeah.
That's your guy across the dial over there. That's what he did with Andrew Luck. He's got him attention. This got Larry Johnson attention.
Yeah, but Cam LaJuice erased his tweets. Larry Johnson just keeps doubling down.
See, I at least respect you for doubling down.
Larry Johnson thinks the KFC chicken sandwich is better than Popeye's or Chick-fil-A, which is just ridiculous, and everyone knows it. KFC doesn't make a good chicken sandwich. Come on. Barely chicken.
I don't think I've had any of them, to be honest with you, so I can't even argue with you.
You never had a Chick-fil-A sandwich?
No, I've had one time at a golf tournament, and I thought it was – I've told you this before. I don't understand the obsession with – now
– Well, you got it at a golf tournament. It was probably soggy and past its prime.
So why am I going to go now and wait in line?
You don't have to wait in – like, I mean
– Every Chick-fil-A has a line around the block.
Not always. You just have to go in an off hour.
It doesn't matter. Why would I go in an off hour for something I hated the first time I had it? But there's better chicken sandwiches out there at real restaurants.
Well, you got to wait at a real restaurant, too.
Yeah, I'm sitting down at a real restaurant. I'm
sitting
doing
down
other
in
stuff.
The drive-thru, sitting there in my car.
Well, that's you. You can do that all you want.
You can do it, too. You have a car with a window.
I don't want to.
Oh, God.
Why would I want to?
I don't know.
Why would I go out of my way for a fast food chicken sandwich for a place that I don't really care for?
You don't know if you care for it.
I care. I know that I didn't enjoy it the one time, and why would I go get another one? Just if it winds up. I don't eat fast food anyway. I think I've had Whataburger like one time in the last 6 months.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, listen, I'm not a – I haven't had this new Popeyes sandwich. I expect it to be good because I like Popeyes. I've said before, and I maintain, Popeyes in Louisiana greater than Popeyes everywhere else I've had Popeyes.
I would agree with that.
Special there that it's just better.
Every fast food place in Louisiana is better than it is here.
Ooh.
I'll make that bold statement. Even McDonald's.
Ooh.
I stopped.
What about Dairy Queen?
I stopped at a. I don't know if I've been to a Dairy Queen over there, but I actually stopped at a McDonald's in Lafayette. And got a sandwich there, and they had all this seasoning on it that you can't get anywhere else. And it's the only time in my life you'll ever hear me say this about McDonald's. It was awesome.
Really?
Yes. Of course, that was 15
years ago. I never noticed
that,
I guess. It just tastes like McDonald's. I lived in Lafayette, and it was all just McDonald's.
It's probably the same McDonald's.
It might have been.
I don't know.
I think that city's grown up a little bit. There's probably a couple more McDonald's now. But
it was on the way to the racetrack, so that's where it was.
What do they call the racetrack out there?
Evangeline Downs.
That's right. My mom's horses used to race out there.
I don't know if they still do it, but the race caller would always say, "And they're off," in French at the beginning of a race.
As it should be.
Ils sont partis.
Is that what it?
Yep.
That's
believe
accurate?
Me, yes. Ils sont partis.
Say it again in the racetrack voice.
Ils sont partis.
I like that.
Yeah. That's all the French
I know. How
come
you're not the racetrack announcer at Sam Houston?
Because it doesn't pay anywhere near what I'm making. I've called races out there before.
But, would it really interfere with what you're doing now?
Yeah, post time's at 7:15. I'd have to – there's no way I could make it from the station out there. You have to be out there like 30 minutes before. So.
If I give you Fridays off at 6:30.
No. Listen, man.
I feel like this is a career for you.
Actually, I had a chance.
And it doesn't even matter how old you get.
I had a chance to get that job at one point, and I chose to do something different.
Okay.
Calling races is not easy, man. It is, especially like at night on that track, there's like a dead spot on the far turn on the turf course, and you're just like lost. And you're having to make stuff up.
Well, you're old, so your eyes are going.
Well, you have binoculars, dude.
Oh, okay.
Those help. But
the pros call them binos.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So you stop at McDonald's, but you won't stop at Chick-fil-A. Yeah, that was 15 years ago. Jeez.
Well, and also the line at Chick-fil-A is longer than the line at McDonald's,
yeah,
almost always.
Yeah.
But at Chick-fil-A, whatever you think about their food, and this is where I haven't had the Popeye's chicken sandwich. My guess is the Popeye's chicken sandwich tastes better than the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Everybody I've ever met who works at Popeye's hates that they work at Popeye's. Everybody I've ever met that works at Chick-fil-A is super happy about life working at Chick-fil-A. It's I don't know how. There's no other fast food restaurant where there's legit joy that they work at a fast food restaurant. Most people who work in fast food, they go home at night and they're like, God, do I want to take my hairnet off before I kill myself or just kill myself with my hairnet? I don't know.
How can I get the smell of grease out of me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked at a fast food restaurant once when I was young. And, it's a sad life. And I didn't even have to deal with customers. All I did was slice roast beef and cook roast beef at Arby's. But even that was enough to make me sad. Imagine if you had to like talk to people eating fast food all the time or talk on the drive-thru. That's a rough life. But at Chick-fil-A, it's like they feel lucky. It's like that God blessed them to let them work at Chick-fil-A, and they're super excited about it. I don't get it, but it makes me like their chicken a little bit better. I'm not going to lie. If you serve me some food with a smile, I'm like, oh, it makes me feel better about eating fast food.
Doesn't make the food taste better.
No, it doesn't. That's accurate.
Yeah. No, but I mean that.
But the experience is better.
Yeah. Well, it's there's certain things that I don't have.
And
the
you
love
don't
for.
Have kids, it, like young.
No,
kids
when
anymore.
I when I hit kids,
you got to eat fast food when you have kids.
Well, yeah.
It's like,
there's no question.
Sometimes you know, grown up life, you ain't trying to go home and cook. Let's
and
face.
And mine love Chick-fil-A, and they disown me because I don't.
You. So. How come you're? This is the problem. Your kids are of age now where they should be taking you out to Chick-fil-A to try to preach the Chick-fil-A gospel to you. But you got raggedy-ass kids who have no respect for you.
No, they're too busy for me, AJ.
No.
Because they're important.
They're not that important. They're just kids.
No, they're at that age now where
they think they're important.
No, they're at the age now where I only hear from them when they need money, pretty much.
Well, that's probably fair.
Yeah, that's how it goes. That's okay.
I mean, your daughter's of the age now where, you know, she's got boys who are buying her food now.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I don't want to talk about that. I do want to talk about mybookie.ag.
The good news is your son's for sure not getting laid, so that evens out.
Well, he's not betting either, but he should be, and he should be on mybookie.ag. More prop bets than any other sports book. Absolutely nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. I put a little money on Utah last night, despite being told that was not a good play. But I did that on mybookie.ag, cashed a little ticket there. And how about this? If you sign up now, mybookie will double your first deposit. It's up to $1,000 in free money. And how about this? I am really looking forward to this. I've been wanting to play the Super Contest. Well, they've got one now on mybookie. It's their first ever NFL handicapping Super Contest. Season-long, 5 games a week in the NFL. You win it $100,000. Now, how cool would it be if a blitzer or me won that $100,000? It would be awesome. Don't play on some no-name sports book. Bet with the best. MyBookie.ag. Use promo code RADIO to get your exclusive double your money offer today. That's MyBookie.ag. Promo code RADIO. That's good enough. Play, win, and get paid at MyBookie.ag.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from R Bar in Sawyer Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz, live here at R Bar. Starting to get pretty packed in here, but there's still room for you. If you're looking for something to do, come on out here. Just getting off work. R Bar on Houston and Dart.
Dart. I'm glad that you recovered from your near-death experience during that live.
Yeah, you know, that's always the worst thing when you start coughing. And Like it was one of those where it was going to be a really bad coughing fit, so I'm just kind of fending it off long enough to get the last line in, and no, it didn't work. So that's the worst thing, because like if we're just talking and you go, and
I can into, cover for you,
right, and vice versa. But when you're doing a live read, oh well.
I'd already walked away.
And just for the record, those of you who keep trying to push Chick-fil-A on me by saying, well, it's only like a 4-minute wait, even with the line, or get the app. I'm not putting the effort in to do it. I don't wait in line for anything. Like even, you know how much I love me some Brothers Tacos? If I'm going for breakfast tacos, if there's more than five people in that line outside the door, I'll go do something else.
Hey,
life is too short. Time is my most valuable asset because I'm an old. So you guys will appreciate that when you get older.
I would have thought that it was blood flow to your penis is your most valuable asset.
No, it's time.
Because you're old.
No, it's time.
Oh, okay. Yesterday, I did a poll on Twitter. We were talking about players under 25. Who do you want? If you can only have one of these guys for the rest of their career, who are you taking? And we kind of discussed it yesterday when we had about 150 votes. It finished with just under 2,000 votes, Fred. Are you curious about the results?
I am. I'm sure it's going to be very Houston skewered.
I said you can only have one of these guys for the rest of their career, and we only use players under 25 because I got people saying, what about Mike Trout?
What about Yelich?
What about Christian Yelich? What about Nolan Arenado? I love all those dudes. They're all badass. They're all older than 25. So under 25, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. Why'd you turn the speaker down? Why does it sound that way? Are you turning my headphones down?
Yeah, because you were your microphone down a little bit because you were screaming.
Don't do that.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, Cody Bellinger, Ronald Acuna Jr. The votes are in. You can only have one. And what was your final decision?
I surprised the world by taking Alex Bregman, which –
What's your decision, Aaron?
I think I would take Acuna, probably.
Nick, do you watch baseball? Do you even care?
Not enough.
Okay, we won't count you then. My vote was for Cody Bellinger.
Which would have been my second choice. It was close between those two for me.
I thought so, too. And Bregman would have been my second choice. Acuna third, and Yordan fourth. And Yordan has a chance to surprise everybody. And I mean, he's got... clearly got some upside, but you know what? So does the Aquino guy.
I was just about to say that. That guy's
home runs all over the
place. He's got an even better start than Alvarez.
14 home runs this month. I mean, so let's not act like what Yordan's doing can't be done. It can be done. So the votes are in. 49%.
Let me think. That's almost half.
49% is actually, if I had a My Computer Career read right here, that's the job satisfaction in the U.S. right now.
That seems about right.
Alex Bregman, 49% of the vote.
Well, you're in Houston.
A dominant win for Alex Bregman. Ronald Acuna Jr., 21% second. Yordan, 17% third. Cody Bellinger in dead ass left.
Yeah, come on.
Big deal. You're winning the MVP this year. How about 13%? Womp womp.
I'm sure he's heartbroken over it.
Yeah, he'll cry into his...
All right, here's an unpopular opinion after I just said nice things about Alex Bregman. I ain't taking Yordan Alvarez over Cody Bellinger. Not in this life or the next.
That's ridiculous.
Not in this life or the
next. Again, 2 or 3 years from now, maybe you can say that.
Yeah.
Right now, you got to remember, and everybody's like, well, Yordan's only 21. Cody Bellinger's only 23. And Cody Bellinger is a well above average defensive player. He can play.
He
can play every position in the outfield and first base.
What do you not say about Yordan?
Yordan can't play any position in the outfield or first base at an above average level, so that's not good. Acuna is interesting because he is not only an above average defensive player, which I think Bregman is an above average defensive player.
But
Acuna is a borderline elite defensive player and can play any position in the outfield. Great speed, has shown some pop. I mean, I think you might be looking at a guy who's 30-30 for a while, but we talked about it yesterday, speed goes away. I still think Bellinger, though, and around here I get it. I don't know why people hate the Dodgers more than any other team. If the Dodgers would have beat the Astros, I would understand it, but they didn't. and nobody around here hates the White Sox, and the White Sox beat the Astros.
You should
in the
World be hating the Yankees and the Red Sox a lot more than you hate the Dodgers.
The Dodgers aren't your nemesis, but Cody Bellinger to me is that he's the guy because he's last year he didn't hit for much average. He's figured that out. He's hit for ridiculous power since he showed up. Rookie of the year. He's going to be the MVP this year. To me, he's the guy. But I could see an argument for Bregman, certainly. And Acuna, honestly.
No, I can't go wrong with any of those guys.
I threw Yordan in there just to see how much run he could get after a three-month stretch. And it's clearly a good amount of run, more than Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, well, that's just crazy. Sorry, Astros Twitter, but that's crazy. The one thing about Alvarez is you watch him swing the bat. He's so smooth. He's got such a great eye at the plate. When you put him in the field, he's like the fat kid that always plays right field in Little League. I mean, he's got no clue. It's like absolutely he looks like the most unathletic guy in the world chasing the ball out there. I don't get it because clearly he's a pretty damn good athlete.
Now, granted, he's a good enough hitter that, I mean, let's face it, if the Astros play in the World Series, he's playing left field for the Astros, right? They're not going to sit Yordan to play Josh Reddick in the World Series, right?
Well, you hope not, because Reddick will probably hit 117 in the
series
again.
He's such a great hitter, at least so far, that I don't think they've got an option. But if you're talking about who do you want for the next 10 years or the rest of their career, I think you have to take into account that the other three guys are all above-average defensive players. Cody Bellinger is extremely versatile, can play, like I said, all three outfield spots and first base. Acuna can play all three outfield spots at a very high level. Bregman plays key positions, third base and shortstop, arguably the two most key infield positions. He's not, I don't think he's like a world-class defensive player, but he doesn't suck. I think you have to take that into account. If you're taking the whole shebang, that's why Yordan is a little down that list to me.
And somebody on the text line brought up a good point. It's because we don't watch a lot of Dodgers games here, which is probably true.
Do we watch more Braves games than Dodgers games?
You probably watch.
If you're watching national, if you just watch nationally broadcast games, you see more Dodgers than damn near anybody.
Yeah, but they're always late at night. You know, I mean that's the thing. It's a whole West Coast thing. All right, we got to take a break. We got a gym of the day coming up. That I'll just ask: what if it was really ancient aliens?
Yes. I love when you do that.
We'll be right back. It's a
Blitz. Once a week now.
On ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from R Bar in Sawyer Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Back at R Bar. I'm going to let 3, 2, 1. Start it over, Fred.
And we're back on the Blitz live here from R Bar. There's so many cool people here. We're just socializing. So, yeah.
There's a lot of chicks trying to make out with Fred.
No, that's not
awesome.
That's fake news. Hashtag fake news.
All right.
It would be,
have exaggerated that.
It would be tremendous. It would be the
moderately.
Best. But fake news. Make sure to come by our bar today and grab a free sample of Cheers Alcohol Aid. Hold that up so they can see the Cheers.
Yeah.
They want to provide you with brighter mornings and the freedom to enjoy alcohol on your own terms. Thank you. Appreciate it. Cheers is a way to reduce alcohol's negative effects and as many positive effects on increasing human health and happiness.
What about animal health?
I have not fed it to my dog because my dog does not drink my alcohol.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
She's tried, believe me. I got up to go to the restroom one day. I come back, and she's licking into my vodka. And I'm like, whoa, dude, stop. But visit CheersHealth.com for more info. And please mention you heard about it here on ESPN 97.5. Trust me, it makes a difference, man. If you're going to drink.
It really does.
During the week, which admittedly, I do that every now and then, most nights, almost every night. But you need. I have to be up at 5:30 every morning to do Sports Map. I can't be hungover and feel crappy, and Cheers makes a difference. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, as you know, I have many guilty pleasures. Some of them are pretty dumb. One of them is my love for Ancient Aliens. And I am officially calling myself an ancient astronaut theorist now. So as an ancient astronaut theorist, I look for stories about aliens. This guy is something different. He's what's called a UFO hunter. So how do you get that job title? How do I graduate from... Ancient alien theorist to UFO hunter.
I'd like to get a hold of that gig, I'll be honest.
Because it sounds pretty cool. It may just be because he has an Instagram account that's at UFO underscore Scandinavia. It could be that. But it's an alien hunter page that posts strange photos and videos from around the world. Oh, that looks awesome. That looks awesome. But
taste of Philly sandwiches are here.
Yeah, there's a food truck right outside.
Philly cheesesteak food truck.
Oh, this is about to be awesome. But
yes.
Basically, he took a video. Well, okay, now here's one reason why I can't be a UFO hunter. I'm not going to Antarctica. Apparently,
I hear it's cold there.
Yeah.
The harsh winters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but he took a video and basically there's a mountain in Antarctica that has an alien face. And the video was captioned, gray alien face captured in Google Earth map in Antarctica.
But it's a mountain.
Yes.
So this is basically, like, when I was a kid, I used to look at clouds and be like, oh, that looks like Mr. Potato Head, or that looks like Charlie Brown kicking a football. He's found a way to make that into a job.
Well, apparently.
Man, I am a sucker.
I know.
I could have been doing this for money.
Well, and they bring up in this story, which was from Bro Bible, says somebody called Brendan Fraser because the alien face looks exactly like the sand face from The Mummy. So, regardless, that's my next job goal is UFO hunter.
I hope you get that.
Because that's a cool sounding name, right?
Like hunter. No.
Anytime you put a hunter on the end of something.
No. Anytime
like
you put
beer hunter.
Anytime you put UFO in your job title. I instantly assume you're an idiot. I'm not. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but I would say you're an idiot.
I would say ancient alien astronaut theorists would disagree with you.
Well, anytime you have ancient alien theorist in your on your business card,
astronaut theorist,
whatever, you're an idiot too.
Well, but I'm a theorist. I can just make stuff up.
You should just leave it at theorist on your business card. Just put theorist.
Well, no, because that could be about anything. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
We theorize about everything. But
That's fine. But if you start telling people you're thinking about aliens all day, you're a moron.
Well, I'm not thinking about them all day. Just on Fridays when I watch them on TV.
Do they still make shows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That thing's on. They, like, every Friday, it's all day long on the History Channel.
Aaron was like nodding his head like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Aaron doesn't even watch TV. He's like, yeah, I watch that alien show.
No, I don't watch that one. But the former member of Blink-182 is now, quote, unquote, an UFO hunter. He has a company and everything.
Mark Hoppus?
No, Tom DeLonge.
Oh.
Mark Hoppus is still in the band.
Okay. Boy, imagine that. You got a band that's making a ton of money. What are the odds you're going to be in a band? I mean, you were in a band that sucked. You made no money.
I made pretty good money for a while until they wanted me to start selling drugs.
Oh, okay. How many millions of records did you sell?
Almost 4 records.
Okay.
Not almost no millions.
No millions.
No millions.
Blink 182 sold millions of records, and this dude was like, you know what, man? I got to get out of this rock and roll thing, and I'm really into hunting aliens now.
He had two bands. He had two really
What?
Prominent bands.
I know you can't say ass and then say something else after that on the radio. And I know you can't say hole with something before it.
Mass.
But, like, he is that. You're giving up. The odds that you're going to make it as a rock band are so slim. And then you're like, no, I've had enough of this rock and roll gig.
Maybe he's just like Andrew Luck. He made his money. He decided he wanted to do something else.
Andrew Luck was because he was injured to the point he might die. Tom DeLonge is to the point where he might die because he's a total moron. His brain doesn't work.
Well, I'm guessing there were a lot of drugs. Maybe just he was going to die from that.
I think more he wasn't invited back to Blink-182.
Because
he wanted to do alien crap.
Yeah, because he's crazy. They didn't say, hey, man, the band's really struggling with you here. We're going to get rid of you. No, the band was making a ton of money. The band was just like, hey, you're an idiot. We can't deal with this anymore. Because there was a guy in that band that damn near died in a plane crash. He's got like no... The drummer, who he's like, I've got really minimal use of my arms now for the next 2 years. I've almost died in a plane crash. They're like, that's all right. You're still in the band. This guy's like, I'm really into alien hunting. They're like, yeah, we just can't use you anymore. Which it makes sense.
All I'll say is when the aliens come, I'm going to be on Team Alien. You're going to be on Team Human getting killed.
Probably.
I'll try to vouch for you. I will. I'll try to tell him. No, he's not as big of an a-hole as he comes off.
Let him take
Please
me.
Don't kill him.
Let him take me.
But we'll see how it goes.
If my time comes, it comes.
All right, guys. There's no way to transition into this. But, yes, okay, how about this? All right, so aliens are a fantasy. Fantasy football is a fantasy. Okay, yeah, that's the best I could come up with. Guys, if you're not on draft, you should be. It's awesome. And if you love fantasy football, how about this? $3.5 million best ball championship on draft. That's right, $3.5 million in real money. And the great thing about draft, season long, but no management. You just set your lineup and forget about it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically started. You'll get the best score every week guaranteed. Here's what I like best. There's no salary caps. It's a snake draft. So just like you play with your friends in a season-long league, and the frustrating thing with those salary cap leagues is you get a great team, you think, oh, I'm going to win this, and you look up, somebody else has got the same team. Well, it doesn't happen here because you're doing a snake draft. Leagues start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. You can get it on a baseball one. I've been playing baseball. I played a season-long one there too. And do a draft. You could be a millionaire 16 weeks later. Who doesn't want to be a millionaire? It doesn't get any easier than that. It's the highest-rated fantasy app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play or online at draft.com. For a limited time only, you can get a free entry to the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code FRED. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code FRED when you make your first deposit on draft. Just search draft in the App Store or go to draft.com. Come play free with promo code FRED.
ESPN 97.5.